This is TWiT.
I am talking to Ramesh Srinivasan. He's the author of many books, well, two books, Whose Global Village and After the Internet with Adam Fish. And we are talking about the way that politics and culture interacts with technology and what's happening now. And talk a little bit about what you mean by the title, After the Internet. Where's the internet going?
So that's a title that that Adam Fish, my friend, and I were sort of trying to be a little playful with. I mean, obviously, the internet is here to stay, and it's defining. It's very, very central in our lives in so many different ways. And I'm actually working on a new book that I'll tell you about in a little bit, which is really trying to address the big economic, political, cultural flashpoints around the internet moving forward. So what do we mean when we say after the internet? What we actually mean is the internet, kind of like I said earlier, the internet as it is right now is a very different internet than the internet of 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and actually even 5 years ago. And by the way, even in the late 1980s, I know that's a long time ago, you know, early days of the internet, there was no commercial activity at all permitted on the internet. So we've gone from an internet that was completely non-commercial to an internet that's dominated by commercial stock valuation interests. So that means that we can actually think about what is after this internet, right? And of course, that doesn't mean that these companies are going to go away. That doesn't mean that aspects of what we are experiencing right now will still not be there. I mean, of course, aspects will be there. But I think what we're trying to do is inspire others to realize, again, that we have power in theory over technology, though it doesn't seem like right now. And in the sense, when I say that, what I mean is that we in turn can actually reimagine technology in ways that might support human values of equity, of diversity, of, you know, as John Perry Barlow pointed out, liberty and freedom of speech. Those are not the values currently being, prioritized with the internet of present, but there is a new internet after this internet that could shape some of those values, that could be inspired by some of those values. And our goal is not simply be in hysteria or depressed about that, which is, we can change this situation and make it better. And I think that to some small extent, at least, we see some acknowledgement of these issues by even some of the folks in Silicon Valley.
Well, I know one big movement right now is the movement by the Center for Humane Technology. Talked to Max Stossel a few weeks ago on the show. He's one of those. That was back in the olden days, a month ago, when they were called Time Well Spent before they changed their name. What are your thoughts about the Center for Humane Technology? Because I think that their focus is very different. I mean, it's different than yours. I mean, you have a more broad, global perspective, which I found very refreshing after reading and buying into a lot of what the Center for Humane Technology is doing, but at the same time thinking, well, it seems like a lot of people are running around saying, oh, you got to save the children. And that's maybe distracting us from a lot of the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you just actually referred to what I think is sort of a little incomplete about that center. You know, I admire and appreciate their concerns to try to make the world of technology more humane. But to me, what they're attempting to do is they're dealing with some specific, and I use the word some and specific very intentionally, some specific problems or symptoms of the problem, rather than the underlying issue, which is one of asymmetric control. And asymmetric power. Youth addiction and depression through, you know, dopamine addiction is a huge issue, no question about it. And there was, for example, a study done by Duke that revealed how harmful it is to rely on social media as a form of socialization or as a form of validation. so that, but that to me is just one small but important symptom of a much larger issue. So what I'm interested in is looking at examples that I believe are inspiring from different parts of the world where technologies are being not only imagined but implemented in people first manners, right? Culture first manners, you know, value first manners. And this is not a zero sum game with monetization and valuation, I think, of Silicon Valley. I just think that what the biggest companies have figured out is that they can create massive amounts of economic value for themselves and therefore their shareholders by optimizing their businesses and therefore their technologies in ways that are not socially beneficial, that are not socially healthy, that are not good for labor, that are not good for economic equality, that are not good for call center workers, that are not good for cultural diversity, that are not good for journalism and our ability in this country and the world to talk to and learn from one another. So I would really be a bit more excited about the Center for Humane Technology if they were focused on those issues.